We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back to the show. Mike Lombardi, waiting to talk to him right now. We'll be calling here in a second. Let's go one more call. Let's go to Sean in Manchester. Sean, go ahead, buddy. You're on with Lou Christian and Fitzy.
Hey, guys. I really, really appreciate your show. I'm a first-time caller, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the professionalism compared to the other channel with two guys that have never played sports in their life. Hmm. But I'm a homer. I rooted for Howie Long when he played for L.A., I rooted for Maloney because he was from Framingham. I'll root for Tom Brady to win anytime he's not playing against the Patriots. I'm a true homer. These guys on the other line, like the guy from Long Meadow, he sounds like he's got Irish Alzheimer's. He remembers everything. you know what I mean? He remembers, the only thing he remembers is, what have you done for me lately? It's sad.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for the call. I'm sorry. We're just wondering if you're rooting for Tom Brady. But first, we got to talk to our guy, because our conversation with Mike Lombardi is sponsored by Zuti. You can build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joining us on the Harbor Hotline, rather, is Mike Lombardi, the GM Shuffle Podcast. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Well, we're doing all right. I mean, we're like, you know, it's Friday now after what happened on Saturday. I don't think anybody's shocked, you know, that they lost the football game, right? Buffalo's a good team, but I think a lot of people are shocked in how they lost this football game. So you tell me, what happened?
Well, I mean, I think with all the things that we talk about during the year, I think it came to fruition on Saturday night. I mean, the lack of team speed, and I think ultimately at the end of the day, they haven't been able to get a stop in 2.5 games against the Bills, make them punt. I mean, I think their team speed on defense showed up, and I think the players that they're relying on to be their better players didn't play very well in the game. And oftentimes, as you get older, sometimes as the end of the season comes in, you don't play as well as you hoped you would.
Yeah, and also, obviously, your best players, but wasn't there, I think there was a drastic depth issue, especially in the secondary with, obviously, Mills.
Jalen Mills being out with COVID,
and then you just had a bunch of guys out there that just couldn't keep up. Do you think that's part of the problem also?
I think there was the front seven. I mean, there was no speed at linebacker. I mean, I think that was really the issue. I mean, if it was two-hand touch, there were some plays where they didn't even touch the back. I mean, you know, that was hard. The lack of speed was obvious, and you can't get off the field. They were 6-for-6 on third down. I mean, they just physically took it to the Patriots, and you know, the thing about that game is it's not a hard game to really figure out. You've got to get better. You know, the one thing you know about the Patriots, and this is uncommon in the National Football League, even though Patriot fans don't see it that way, is the Patriots have really good coaching and really good schemes. And when they get manhandled the way they did, then it really comes down to improving your talent. Because at the end of the day, football is like being in the veterinarian business. The patient doesn't speak to you. So you have to use diagnostic testing. Players, coaches, or schemes. That's the three areas you fail. And that game there, to me, was all about the lack of team speed on defense. And then they get behind in the game. You know, they chose to defer. They got behind in the game. They put their quarterback out there. They throws an interception. Now they're behind. They can't get a stop. And now it just starts steamrolling.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, you were talking about the coaching. And we were looking at this team. It's been a big discussion this week, you know, all throughout Boston, but the way the season started, the way this season ended, you heard uncharacteristic mistakes from a Patriots team over and over again, especially early and late. And when you look at it, and obviously I don't think you would agree with this, but it looks like the worst coach football team under Bill Belichick this year.
I would not agree with that at all. I mean, I think they're a team that's trying. They got a rookie quarterback, you know, and I think that they make mistakes like rookie quarterbacks often do, and they've overcame it. They had a nice win streak. I think it was a huge step forward. You know, I think it was a huge step forward for their team. I think ultimately they came back with a lot of older players, Hightower, McCourty, Van Noy, Collins, those guys. You know, you're trying to get one more year out of them as you bridge together and build the culture within your team. And sometimes you just run out of gas, and I think that's what happened.
But how do you explain special teams? Like three block punts. How do you spell too many men in the huddle? Too many men in the field? Well, not enough men in the field? Like well, bad, you know, first halves, bad, you know, second halves? Like what, you know, coming out of half, starting the game?
I think, to me, look, you know, I mean, I've watched the man work. He's the best coach in football. So you can say that, but there's no better coach. And the reality of it is they were the number one special teams in the league last year, you know, and they didn't get it done this year. And I think that's probably one of the things that bothers them more than anything.
So Bill,
the fact that they had those problems on special teams, which is an area that's usually a strength.
You know, and Bill, listen, greatest coach of all time. We all say that. But is his staff getting too green? Too much turnover? Is that what we see?
Well, the special teams coach was there last year. They're the number one special teams in the league last year. So I don't know. I mean, they had a bad year. I think there's no doubt about it. But I think part of the problem, too, is they've got to get faster. Part of the problem with their kicking game is they're not fast enough. And I think that's an issue. And I think they've got to improve their overall team speed, particularly on defense.
So, Mike, the most uncharacteristic part of it all to me was the fact that they came out of the bye at 9-4, and then they go 4-5. They only beat up on Jacksonville. They win. They actually never have the lead in those four losses, all against playoff or playoff adjacent teams. So it leaves us with more questions than we anticipated heading into an offseason after a season in which they did make some progress and start turning things around. So what's offseason priority number one to help the Patriots continue improving then?
Oh, they've got to get faster. They've got to get second level faster at linebacker. You know, they can't play with guys that every question, every player that they bring in, you have to ask the question, can he tackle Josh Allen? Can he get to Josh Allen in space? You know, can Bentley get to Josh Allen in space based on what we saw of him this year? I don't think so. Would you re-sign Bentley? I think you got to answer that question first. Could you bring in Hightower back? Could he tackle him? I think you got to answer that question. I think you got to rebuild this defense, the back seven of the defense, particularly at linebacker. And I think you've got to get faster in the defensive front as well. Because if you're going to compete against that guy who's running the ball more than any quarterback, who's as big as any player in the league, you've got to be able to get him on the ground. I think it's a rebuilding year for their defense. And I think they've got to get younger. I think youth has got to take over. They've gone through this. You know, with Hightower, McCourty's a free agent. I think they got to get younger. I really do. And I think they've got to get younger and faster.
So, Mike, you're making me feel like this, like this is like a maybe it's rebuild 2.0 as opposed to what all the money that they spent last year. And if they're going
to. I don't think it's a rebuild 2.0. I think they've got to get younger and faster on defense, which is easier to do.
Well, how do you do that? If you do it through the draft, right? And then what's the other option
is
free agency?
You got to play young kids. You got to play. I mean, it's no different than when he signed guys like Vrabel. You think Vrabel was a high-priced free agent when he signed here?
So you
know, there's guys you could find that fit the system, and you plug them in, and they're younger, they're faster. You know, you can do it. I mean, and now they're going to get better on offense. I mean, I think Mac Jones is going to get better because he's going to stay a year in the system. He's going to build his body back up. They've got to re-sign the right tackle. You know, they've got to re-sign the offensive lineman, but they're a lot closer because at least they don't have to fix the quarterback.
So the other thing is, like, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, the gap seems pretty vast between where they are as a franchise and where you are, the Patriots, are as a franchise, and what the division, you know, itself looks like. So if that is what the elite status, the ceiling is, I mean, it seems like pretty difficult when you look at just the quarterback position that they can go back and forth and actually take over the East. Like, if you're comparing quarterbacks as the ultimate sign.
Well, I don't think it's all about just the quarterback. I think I was really referring to how to tackle the quarterback and get faster on defense. I think this is part of an offseason, and you can improve in an offseason. And you don't have to spend, you don't have to sign five or six free agents. You can improve by signing guys that you don't know about that other teams do that are good players that you can get them for economic value. And I think that's ultimately what they have to do. I think they've got to sit down and really, really pay attention to that, because they can't come back with veteran guys again. You know, what happens when you're a veteran team, I think it really, this is a true indication of the Patriots, is, you know, and I said this about Ben Roethlisberger, if a veteran team, if a player's not playing great as a veteran in August, he's going to be really bad in January. Well, some of those veterans played really good in August, but by the time they got to December and January, they were not playing well. I mean, Hightower's sitting in the hole to tackle Jonathan Williams. He can't get him on the ground. They just didn't play. They didn't play Jonathan Taylor. I'm sorry. They didn't play well. I mean, that's what happens to older guys. And it's not this being disrespectful to the Hightower. It's just that sometimes Mother Nature and age creeps up on everybody except Tom Brady.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. And, Mike, you know, you look at this defensive unit, you're talking about the personnel and lack of speed. It seems like a collaborative effort, right? Bill's always going to have his hand in it, you know. And Patricia comes back, he'll have his hand in it. Then you've got Steve Belichick, Gerard Mayo. How important are titles and having one voice defensively?
Well, they're going to look. Everybody's going to have a voice, but there's one architect of building the football team in the vision that he sees it, which has been the trademark of his success, whether it was in Cleveland or whether it was in New England. The philosophy of how he's going to want to build a defense is going to come from him, and then the people that work in that building are obviously going to have input, but they're not going to be philosophical input. You know, that's the key to success in the NFL, is you got somebody who's the architect.
But
then you got to have somebody built.
But even if you don't name the defensive coordinator, he's done that before. But is it still? I mean, Flores is not the name, but he's one voice. He's the he's the defensive coordinator. Like, that's not important.
Well, but Flores was running Bill's defense. You're missing the point. He was calling the defense, but it wasn't what Flores' vision of the Patriots was. There's a separation of that. It's going to be what Bill wants to run on defense. That's the way it should be. You know, and so that philosophically is going to take shape. And then once that does, the players fit in, and then the coach calls it. They're going to go over it. I mean, there's not really going to be a call during a game that they haven't practiced or gone over. They watch the practice tape every night as an entire staff. If he didn't like something in the game plan, he's the head coach. He's going to say, look, I don't think that's going to work. And people are going to listen because he knows.
For me, Mike, even though they spent a blank ton on offense last year during the free agency period, the offseason, yeah, they got to get faster on defense. But I personally think that they, you know, like a Calvin Ridley, if they could acquire him, like the Patriots really need that number one for Mac, because we saw what Ja'Marr Chase did for Burrow and we saw what Steph Diggs did for Josh Allen. But I'm curious to hear from you. What do you think year two Mac Jones, whether he gets a number one or not, what do you think year two Mac Jones looks like?
Well, I think a lot better. I think his arm will improve because his lower body will get stronger. I think what Walsh always said was the first year will teach the players the system. The second year will develop his skills within the system. And so I think he'll play faster. He'll play with more confidence. I think he won't get fooled defensively like he did in Indianapolis and he throws against the Miami and he throws the pick six. I think he'll have a lot more consistency in his plays. One of the problems they had offensively was because they had a young quarterback, say you get 70 plays in a game. Well, you know, sometimes when you're a young quarterback, you only have 58 good plays. That means you have 12 bad ones. And sometimes those 12 bad ones cost you to lose a game. Next year, I don't think they'll have that.
All right, Michael, listen, man, we really appreciate taking the time again. Looking forward to talking to you.
Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy.
I don't think he wasn't very happy with that,
so
was
did
he?
The Patriots have to get faster? It wasn't really clear to me.
Yeah, I think you need to get faster. He did not like that question about the coaches. I mean, he took that personally. Whoa. Who jumps off the phone that fast?
Whoa, yeah. His
son's on the staff.
No, I know. That's my point. So he actually, I think he's, like, you did it in the most polite way possible. I mean, he's looking at that as a disrespectful question. Why do you think he jumped off so quick? She hates you. You did it again. You lost another guest.
That's it. You're killing all the Belichick
people. Well, it goes right to Bill, you know, and it's just like we've even said it. Listen, he's the head coach, you know. He's the head coach. And it's like special teams number one last year. Okay, how about starting the game? How about starting the half? How about, you know, false starts? How about fumbles? You know, how about too many men in the huddle? How about not enough men in the field? How about too many men in the field? Like, It was a poorly coached football team. You can laugh it off all you want, but like you said, Foley, many times, you take the coach's name away from it, you take the name, the jerseys off the jerseys, and you just look at some of the games, and you just watch a team play football without knowing who the coach is or what team it is.
If that was the Raiders,
you would label it as a poorly coached football team.
You'd say they're crap. And here's the thing. I get Cam Accord. They had a really good special teams last year.
So year one.
Wait, so last year was great. Okay, but we're not talking about last year. This year, and you did make sure you were pretty clear about it.
Mm-hmm.
This year, poorly coached teams. This year, we know Bill is awesome, blah, 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 blah. This year, it didn't go so well. No. See, again, it's not the coaches. He made sure to mention, this is a great coach team. It can't be. It's the talent. It's not the fact that because at some point in time, somebody needs to take the blame. So he's saying it's not the fact that they're poorly coached. It's because the guys aren't great players and they're stupid. The players are stupid and they're old.
Well, they're
and they're
making stupid mistakes.
I mean, the guys aren't stupid, but at the same time, well, Christian,
jumping offside, eventually you're dumb.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there may be a lack of football, or maybe guys are trying to do too much, which speaks to, or rather, continues to ask the question, what the hell went under in the bye week? What's going on in the room? There is a difference, though, in coaching. Like Belichick takes over the defense, they're in the wrong personnels, whatever, against Dallas, 3rd and 25. That's almost unforgivable. Then you see games like where Hightower is in position, like you mentioned, against Jonathan Taylor. Like, you should be able to make the play, and he just doesn't. Like, so I think speed is as important as getting the coaching aligned, Luke.
All right. Well,
we
got to
keep doing this. We got to keep doing this. I got some more coaching.
By the way, Christian Fourier, 0 career offsides penalties. 0.
We got good coaching.
Smart
guy. That?
It's all the players.
I don't like getting in trouble.
Smart player.
I'd rather be late.
All right, we'll dive back into it, you know, because we haven't really talked to Fitzy more about it as far as the coaching issue on this New England Patriots team. We'll dive in after hearing thoughts from Mike Lombardi. We'll do it next with Maloney, Fourier, and Fitzy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, you were talking about the coaching, and we were looking at this team. It's been a big discussion this week, you know, all throughout Boston, but the way the season started, the way this season ended, you heard uncharacteristic mistakes from a Patriots team over and over again, especially early and late. And when you look at it, and obviously I don't think you're going to agree with this, but it looks like the worst coach football team under Bill Belichick this year.
I would not agree with that at all.
Not a surprise. Like I said, I don't think you're going to like this one.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. You know, and it's, but it goes so much deeper. You know, you talk about like special teams. You know, remember some of these first-year coaches or these young coaches they have on this staff? And we were reading some of their bios. You know, first year as a tight end coach, Rob Gronkowski was an all-pro underneath him. First year as a cornerback coach was the guy Pellegrino. He had Steph Gilmore as, like, the defensive player of the year. And first year, Cam McCord as special teams coach. He had a good special teams. And I do think that there's sort of like a carryover from a year ago. You know what I mean? Like, you have great talent, and it's like, okay, then a coach, if you give the coach enough time, he'll screw it up.
And if I was,
and take a great unit and turn them into crap like this one was this year.
And if we were going to try to figure out, if we were trying to rank like the last 10 years, okay, just to forget about 21, 22 years or whatever, if you were going to rank the last 10 years of Bill's coaching staff, right? And what type of criteria would you use to decide whether one team was coached well and one team was not? Like, what metric, what stat would you look at to determine whether or not a team was coached well or not?
Wins.
What else?
Penalties.
Penalties. Mistakes. I mean, Curran ranked like all of them. The Houston Texans, they score four straight times. You coming out, you know, are you able to, sideline correct, sideline adjust? Do you go into the halftime and do you fix all the problems? Do you go off sides five times and have five penalties in the first half and you come out in the second half and have none? Or do you keep making mistakes?
Number one penalized team in the NFL this year was?
Dallas.
Cowboys.
How's he?
He's a crappy coach.
And I don't listen. I think
that's all we're doing is just beating him up for making terrible decisions and having poor discipline.
We I think most people understand how great of a coach Bill Belichick is. I don't even think it's up for debate. This is the worst coach football team he's ever had. Like, it is.
I would not agree with that at all.
I know he disagrees. You know, one guy that agrees with Mike Lombardi, let's go to the calls quick, Matt in Walpole. Go ahead, Matt. What's up?
Yeah. What's up, Lou? Well, you know, it's weird. I don't understand the idea that penalties is just the be-all, end-all for a bad coaching job. Like, if you wanted to say play – that a wide receiver like ran a bum route and he didn't get the scheme and he missed the play, like that would be bad coaching. But I think that like going off sides, like I'd call that more of a, it's more of the player's fault than anything. I've never understood this. Like most penalties equals bad coaching.
One question. It's not the end all be all, but when the Patriots were the least penalized team in the league, what did you say?
That's a well-coached team.
They had discipline. I wouldn't say that, but I wouldn't call it, like, the whole coaching job isn't...
No. It isn't all of it. Like, so there, I would say there's two things. So you could go ahead and you could hire undisciplined players that have a history of jumping off sides and doing stupid things. They're error repeaters.
Yeah.
Those guys usually don't make it, Matt, so you get rid of them. But at every time, whenever we look... I remember the Raiders came in last year. I feel like they were 2-0. And for the Raiders, the one thing that stood out was the fact that they were the least penalized team in the league at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bam, I'm picking the Raiders. The Raiders are going to figure out Cam Newton. And look at them. They finally figured out they're not stupid anymore. They're well coached. What do? They have one of the worst. They become one of the worst penalized team right in front of your eyes in week 3.
They had 6 penalties in that game.
So I saw this tweet, too, from Mike Reese, special teams. They were ranked 18th. This week, according to whatever it was, so Sports Illustrated, 18th is the lowest finish, worst finish since 2005. Special teams atrocious. Like, penalties aren't end-all, be-all. But, you know, again, like, if the message isn't getting sent to the players, that's on the coaching, right? When you start seeing repeat, so the first 3 or 4 weeks, when every running back you ran out there fumbled the football, it's like, okay, was it on the player? Sure it is, but the coach got to make sure that doesn't happen again. And Ivan Fears, a salty vet. You know, that guy made sure it didn't happen again. A great coach.
Yep.
Coming into games, how many times, like, just when the game started, you were like, man, they went right down the field and scored on you. Like, you would think coming into games is like coaching. Like, we see film. We're going to stop them offensively. We're going to do things offensively that they haven't seen or confuse them or whatever. Coming out of halftime, how many times you see that fail? Like, seriously, too many men in the field, not enough men in the field, too many men in the huddle. Like, just it, I don't even know how you can defend it. I know you can laugh it off and blame all the personnel, and that's what you do, you know, if you're Mike Lombardi, but I don't know how you can. And it just goes a testament how great of a coach team this was in the previous years. Like, this team goes out and doesn't lose football games. Like, that's their mantra. We let other teams lose football games. They lost 7 games this year. You tell me there couldn't have been 2 more wins and be a number one seed if this play team actually did play disciplined football in those football games? They'd be the number one seed. Now, they probably get smoked this weekend, but they should be the number one seed, in my opinion, this year. But they were poorly coached.
Anything?
Anyone?
Just going to let that one linger for a second. It's obviously a problem at a certain point, but it asks the question, okay, was it a personnel issue? Was it coaching? Was it a combination therein? There were times, obviously, the coaching wasn't correct. I mean, I always go back to the same damn thing in Dallas, and I go back to all the mistakes that they made as well. And there has to be something like, you can't have 2 games against the same team. I don't care what kind of heater Josh Allen is on. I don't care if he borrowed the phrase from Brady and has all the answers to the test. You cannot literally play the same team twice and not make them punt. Somebody has to find a way to make a play. I don't care how slow and how old the defense got. You've got to be able to find a way, no matter what did McCourty say earlier this week? Like, Steve was telling us all the plays to put in. We just couldn't make them. We just couldn't get there. We couldn't stop them. Yeah, and Belichick went in the locker room and gave him a little slap and tickle afterwards. You got to find a way to make them punt.
Look at your division this year. You mentioned the Buffalo Bills. You're 100% right the last 2 weeks. And the best defender you had up in Buffalo was Mother Nature. 65-mile-an-hour crosswinds. Jeez. Take another team in your AFC East, a team that you supposedly know well, the Miami Dolphins. You gave the game away week 1, and then you played even worse in week 18. Like, 2 games against in your division. You played awful against the Miami Dolphins. If you just played like we're used to seeing a New England Patriot team, you probably win those 2 games. So for years, it was the least penalized team, you know, right up there. As far as turnover ratio, as far as turning the ball over, fumbles, they don't fumble. This team doesn't turn it over. Remember the Deflategate? That's why they don't turn the ball over, because the balls are too freaking deflated. Well, what did we say then? It's good coaching.
I do think there is.
Right?
Now
they go the other way and it's nothing to do with coaching?
Do you think that this is just one time in Bill's career where it just happened to be the most he just happened to hire the most undisciplined players? Because I do think there are players. It doesn't matter how well coached they are, how many times you tell them, how many different ways you explain it to them, how many times you threaten them, find them, sit them down, make them be healthy scratches. They just don't get it.
Like Lawrence Guy standing over the center.
Well, but when you have veterans. High-priced veterans, guys that have been in the league, guys that understand the circumstances and the importance of certain situations. When those guys continue to make you have to point to the coaches. I'm telling you, like, it's always been that way. Why would it suddenly change? And it doesn't mean that you're a bad coach. It means that this year you ain't getting through to them. Maybe. The coaches go or the players go, because you need to recycle one of the two. Either you recycle the coaches to get a fresh set of eyes and a different message, or you recycle the players, or you recycle both. Some teams do both. Some head coaches do both. Coaches that spend a lot of time in the league, they do both.
Yeah.
Huh. So that sounds pretty insightful.
Let me go to the calls here, because
transcribe that.
Let's go to the calls. I want to go to. Let's go to Cal. Cal and Quincy. Go ahead, Cal.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you tonight?
What's up?
So basically, the games has evolved, and behind every great dynasty, all the coaches like Shuler and guys like that, you know, kind of the game kind of advanced in front of them. Bill's got too many cooks in the kitchen. First of all, he spent $180 million on a defense that, like, they had me, you know, after they destroyed Jacksonville, I thought maybe this team would at least show up. And what they put a despicable display of playoff caliber football on the field against the Bills. Now, I don't know if it was because of a cold or a bad, and I don't want to hear any excuses. When you invest that kind of money and you don't have any production, I don't know what happened to Matthew Judon, but I think he went to sleep after the Indy game. You know, like, come on, man. What's going on with this? What's going on with this coaching staff and the ownership right now? They let the greatest quarterback walk out the door.
Now we're going.
It's just ridiculous. Like, let's get some people in here. Maybe, you know, Bill's getting up there. Like, right. Come on.
Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it. Yeah, well, and listen, I think it does come down to it. And obviously, you know, it's we brought up the whole nepotism thing the other day. We saw this article. I forget what the hell it was. Something media.
The defector media. Jerry Callahan
talking
defector.
About the issue in it. And the average was like 3.5 coaches on a staff are related to a coach or a former coach. The Oakland Raiders led the league with 9 of them. Now, I don't know if that changes with Gruden gone, Mayock gone. I don't know what family members are on that staff. But Denver Broncos were tied for 2nd with the New England Patriots for 8. Hmm. And this is where the whole Uncle Bill thing we were choking and you heard in the open, where it was like, you know, Daddy, I want to get in football. Well, Uncle Bill will bring you on. You know, and if you put in a good couple years and watch some film, and Uncle Bill will make you a cornerback coach or whatever coach, and it's just keep working.
I tell you what, you keep your eyes open and your mouth shut, and I tell you what, Uncle Bill, listen, he'll give you a chance.
Yeah.
You prove us proud there, boy.
Yeah, he'll make you a man.
you leave a boy, and you come back a man.
Yeah.
God bless you. My mother and I got to go take a nap.
And if you do open your mouth, I'll come at you like a spider monkey.
it's so funny, but yeah. It's true.
I know.
Uncle Bill. Listen, I wish I had an Uncle Bill. I wish I had a guy in my family who had like a really like popular construction company that would allow me just to show up whenever I wanted to. Like when I went and tried to do something and it mm-hmm. failed, and I said, well, you know what? I always have my safety net. That's working for Uncle Bill. Or, you know, maybe you're a plumber. Maybe it's a Fitzy and Sons. You know, maybe we're
talking about guaranteed to fail.
See, and this is where we talk about like the Uncle Bill and the philosophy. And it's like, you know, obviously Mike Lombardi's got the same philosophies as, you know, Bill. And obviously his kid Mick is going to be on the same page with whatever Bill says. This was, I want you to play sound here of Tommy Curran, who's on a Patriots Talk podcast, talking about this thing right here as far as ideas. And they needing more of them. Go ahead.
Undeniably, the Patriots have developed some outstanding coaches. Not going to include Patricia there because what he presided over here was not, especially in the later years, what I would call a great defense. And that's why when I see these El Foldos on defense down the last 5 weeks and I see Matt Patricia anywhere near a coaching box, it sends a shiver up my spine. Sometimes Bill doesn't cast the widest net. Whether it was Urban Meyer, the affinity for him at Florida, followed by the affinity for Rutgers and Greg Schiano. And are there other thinkers out there who can bring novel concepts to the Patriots?
I think that is a good question.
Ooh.
I mean, you just bring in guys like we were talking about before. You heard even Mayo sound that we played earlier this year. I'd rather have a slow linebacker who's in the right spot than a fast linebacker running around and never gets to that spot. And it's just... draft big linebackers.
He's also the run.
But
he's defending Hightower. That's the other thing. If you read between the lines.
Can they change that philosophy? That's the problem. You got fast young linebackers that obviously are out of position at times and it finds their ass on the bench. Now, I don't know if Uche's ever going to be anything, right? Winovich or any of these guys. But it's like, can they also change that way of thinking? Do they have other thinkers out there that can bring novel concepts to the Patriots, like Tommy Curran said? Or was it just in the family?
Or will Bill ever let that sort of like the Belichick shield that is over the team, just like it all comes from here, it all has to be within my philosophy. Will he ever allow it? Will a new idea be allowed in the building?
That's the million dollar question. Yes.
But here's the thing. So I think...
The answer should
be yes. I think that what's going to force him to change his philosophy is that psycho, like, you know, human, like monster, that's this psychopath of Josh Allen who is destroying the AFC East. So and Mike kind of alluded to it. You need to draft and construct your defense to stop Buffalo, to stop Josh Allen. So you need linebackers with speed. But you can't just be a fast, underside linebacker. I saw him run through a Christian Barmore tackle. I saw him juke Matthew Judon. I saw him juke whoever number 13 was who got pulled up from the practice squad. Can't remember what his name was. He makes everybody look silly in the open field. So, okay, you got to be able to tackle. Where are you finding those guys? And he mentions Mike Vrabel. Like, hey, what you got to do is you got to just go find a guy who's underappreciated for the Pittsburgh Steelers and bring him in like a Mike Vrabel. What?
How about a Ninkovich?
Well, he's another one.
Right.
Okay, good freaking luck. I would say Kyle Van Noy was kind of one of those guys. Okay, he wasn't really anything with Detroit. He comes over here. He's like a transitional player. So... can they do it? Yes.
Not easy to do.
But it's hard.
Yeah. Let me go one more call. We're going to Frank in Boston. Frank, go ahead. You're on with Luke, Christian, and Fitzy.
How are you doing?
Good.
My point is, you guys are all over Belichick for bad coaching when all this penalty. You got five teams right now who's in the playoff. Right now, five teams who has worse penalty than the Patriots. I don't think anybody in Tampa Bay is batching the coaching staff for all the penalty they have. There was Buffalo.
It's a collective. It's a collection of all of it, Frank. We already had a call. We're saying about penalties, Frank. It's everything.
But you guys been talking the last hours about penalty. That's all you've been talking about.
No. We have two calls on penalties. Frank, okay, let's end the penalty discussion. However, I'll say this. When the Patriots are the least penalized team in the league, you say it's good coaching. When they don't turn the ball over, say it's good coaching.
No,
we do.
We
always did.
You guys,
what do you mean we never did?
We care about wins. We care about wins.
And that's why you won, because you didn't get penalized. You watch all these teams, and thanks for the call. You know, it's amazing, man. It really is. Like, when the Patriots are rolling, you play these football teams who have, like, eight penalties and just make stupid penalty after stupid penalty and turn the ball over and cost themselves games. You have too many men on the field, too many men in a huddle in a playoff game, not enough players on the field on a touchdown. We laugh at them and point to the coach.
It happens all the time.
All the time. It happens here. It's like this year. Why are you guys judging the coaching staff?
Well,
be consistent.
Look at this year's whipping boy was the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, the Dallas Cowboys kept you in that game. You should not have been in that game against the Dallas Cowboys when they came up here. But they had so many mistakes, so many errors, so many issues. You would think eventually, they would figure it out, and it would like run its course. It never did. Imagine if the Dallas Cowboys were just like half as disciplined, like just half the penalties that they had this year. Imagine that. Like, go back and look at that game last week. Like, I remember, was it the center for the 49ers?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the nose tackle was hit him so hard, knocked him down. All of them jumping off sides. All of them, illegal procedures, just terrible, terrible. And we're not talking pass interference, which I think can go either way sometimes. We're talking the easy stuff. It's on one. And guess what? We're playing at home. Why are you jumping off sides?
And what was it that let the Patriots back into that game? Mistakes by Dallas. What was it that got Dallas back into that game? Mistakes by the Patriots.
Yeah. And I just say, if they played mistake-free,
wins.
If this team played mistake-free football, like we've been accustomed to seeing, if we stopped listening to the color guys, and the play-by-play guys saying uncharacteristic mistakes by the Patriots, if they played like we were used to, they would have been the number one seed. You can't tell me there's two more wins there. You can't. But it didn't happen because the coaching. Speaking of that, Bill Belichick was on Monday, actually, with the Greg Hill Show and talked about how he might address, or how he does address, coaches sort of leaving the ranks or leaving this organization. You'll hear what Bill had to say about it next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back to the MFers here on a Friday. We got Fitzy in town. We're talking about this coaching staff. And I know it's kind of hard to say and hard to see because it's Bill Belichick, it's the New England Patriots, but it was a poorly coached football team this year. Bill Belichick was on Monday in his final interview with the Greg Hill Show. They asked him about going and replacing coaches that could potentially be leaving and how that process works.
I think our staff is both scouting and coaching is, involved in multiple levels. People with, a lot of experience. People who are, let's call them, mid-careers or, maybe on either end of that mid-career. And then there are people who are on the early end of their career. And as if somebody were to leave, then we would evaluate the candidates here and, possibly an outside candidate. It would depend on, the situation, who it was and so forth. But, and again, try to make the best decision for the team to help ourselves in those areas.
Always looking within, which I think they do, right? I mean, that's just what, every time there's like an opening, it's like, well, who from within is going to take this job? Like linebacker, who from within is going to take that reins, or wide receiver coach, special teams? It's always within. But I just think recently, with so much turnover the last 3-4 years that they have had, it's gotten greener and greener and greener. And or, sometimes you just don't, they're just maybe not great coaches.
I don't think that they're necessarily bad coaches, but why couldn't they just have a bad year? Like, the, you could at least admit that, you know what, I got to change my way of coaching. I got to address them a different way. I have to try a different angle. Like, because what I'm doing isn't working. So, again, whose fault is it? Is there like a generational gap? Is there a communication issue? Like, what language do I need to speak to? Like, do I need to find you more? I don't know what it is. But Bill has been bringing up coaches this way like forever. Like, every guy that's in a position, either a head coach or a GM, they all come up the same way. They start at the freaking bottom. Some of them were players, some of them weren't. Some of them were Division II, Division III, whatever. Some of them played lacrosse. It doesn't matter. They go through the education of Bill. And then they end up being head coaches in the league. So, like, this university.
Not great ones,
this,
though.
Well, not all of them, but still.
Not many.
So someone at some point in time decided that it was worth spending a lot of money on these candidates, these coaching candidates that are basically graduating.
But it's just, you get back to the nepotism stuff, right, and accountability. And it's like, you know, think about Bill Belichick, bad coaching year, like the whole staff. Like, you say the same thing about Alex Cora this year at the Red Sox. It looked like a team that wasn't coached well. They didn't do anything fundamentally well. They couldn't play defense. Yeah. They couldn't run the bases. So after a couple of years of having the guy around, they fire the base running coach.
The MF show.
Right? So Thomas Goodwin's out. So now, you know, infield. Maybe does Cora have to get more involved with the infield? Just start looking at Febles, who's coaching the infielders. It's like, you know, they got Ramon Vasquez coaching the infielders. And it's, you know, so it's like, okay, we got to start addressing this stuff. But if Thomas Goodwin was his kid, did you move on from him? Because he doesn't like the way the defense is playing or the corners are playing or whatever, right?
Those are the other businesses.
So it's no big deal having these guys, but as long as there's accountability there, then that's fine.
Okay, I asked this question. Between offense and defense, one is obviously coached by a coach who's been there for a long time in McDaniels. And then, of course, on the defense, you got a lot of younger coaches, and there's, as you're saying, there could or could not be some nepotism going on, and that seems a lot greener. What was the breakdown? Where were there more penalties? I'm just curious. Like, I know we probably don't have it right off the top of the dome.
I mean, I would say off the top of my head, probably offense.
Okay.
I would say.
And yet, that's where the coach who should have things locked up, like airtight. Josh McDaniels has been there 20 years, basically. Just about as long as Bill Belichick has.
I would say.
In some capacity.
I would say, I mean, obviously there's too many men in the huddle in a playoff game.
Like, a lot of false starts.
There's a lot of delayed games, but you could look at that and say, you got a rookie quarterback. You know what I mean? False starts, rookie quarterback. I don't know. But defensively, you know, coming out at halftime, they got abused, you know, and too many men in the field. Special teams, to me, was probably the biggest eye-opener that really hurt them. Like, it was just part of the whole equation. Again, people like, you focus on penalties. No, it's not one thing. It's penalties. It's turnovers. It's special teams. It's things that we've never said before with this head coach, right? We just never said. I mean, you just don't do it. Penalties, turnovers, and special teams. And he's the absolute opposite of that. Go ahead.
The Patriots had 100 penalties this season, 50 on offense, 34 defense, 16 on special teams.
Oh, my God. 16 special teams penalties against the New England Patriots?
16.
I even if it's not Cam Accord's fault, sorry, but you might want to update the LinkedIn. according to producer extraordinaire Ryan Garvin as well, 17 false starts. Guys, until you hear me go, 180, set up, like, sit.
Right.
Sit down.
How many did Isaiah Wynn
wait.
Have? How many did your starting left tackle have?
Oh, I think it was 9.
I mean, really? Seriously.
Hold on, let me double check.
I mean,
180!
Half of them?
Sounds pretty good, though.
Thank you. That's the Mahomes. He does 180.
Like, wouldn't you say half of them?
180?
Yeah, I don't know why he does 180. That's his thing.
Isaiah Wynn this season had 5 offensive holding penalties, 3 false starts, and 1 illegal use of hands.
I would like to also know, like, when, because I feel like they all happen at, like, the worst possible time. Like, out of all those penalties, they happen at terrible times.
And Brandon Bolden catches the screen for 37 yards, and it's coming back.
Let's go to John in the car, because he wants to defend Bill. Which we're not really going after. Go ahead. What's up, John?
Well, it kind of sounds like you guys are going after the old.
the typical stereo type talk stuff here. When you talk about, like, Lou, I'm glad you brought the Red Sox because that's the greatest example. And the issue really is wasn't the coaching staff this year and the running base running issues. It was the fact that last year was a complete dumpster fire with I can't even remember the coach's name. In a year,
Alex
the
Cora?
Red Sox lay about – no, before Cora. Who
old,
was the –
old Uncle Ron.
Guy?
Ron Renicky.
Yeah, old Uncle Ron tore down what Alex had done in the past couple of years. Alex has to now rebuild it. That takes a
we
long time
run the bases
to do.
In 18.
Well, I would agree with that base running thing, but I would also agree with the way of thinking how the Red Sox were built to get back to it. The Patriots in the past year have completely rebuilt the team. I understand that you want them to be as well coached and playing as well as teams had been in the past, but I think with all of the new things going on there, I think to expect them to play exactly mistake-free as they had when they had a lot of veteran players and they had a lot of, not a lot of turnover, you know, you're not going to have a lot of things where you're going to go, hey, we got to constantly hit this stuff.
John, I understand. Okay, I get it. And you know, not a lot of new bodies, which I think we said early on, you know, in the season. A lot of new bodies. It's not going to be fun watching this thing early on. How do you explain the last quarter of the season? Like, you know, after playing 13 games, how do you explain? I mean, from everybody? Like, how do you explain the last 3 or 4 weeks? Like, 4 or 5 weeks? Like, how do you explain that? And I mean, Lombardi wants to throw, like, you know, old players got tired. Okay, whatever. Old players got tired. All right, listen, we'll move on. You guys are still here. We'll still touch on the coaching situation here. We want to update you guys on our NFL predictions, our bet that we have going on throughout the playoffs. We made our predictions earlier. Start looking into some of these games over the weekend. Best weekend of football. We'll do it. We'll do it all. We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.